Shortwave, folks, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, coming live to you from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network in almost beautiful downtown Round Rock, Texas. Seventh day of April already. First quarter of the year gone. I'm sorry, the first... How many quarters in a hole? Oh, that's right, there's four quarters. First quarter gone. Hey, it's Friday, Kelly, leave me alone. At any rate, I'm going to bring up Steve Schenck here in a minute from the J. Michael Stevens Group. And I want to talk about preparedness because we witnessed Katrina, all that folderol going on, people being bused to all over the country. FEMA still screwing things up. You got any doubt or any clue here as to the Federal Emergency Management Agency supposed to, well, being there federally fixing things, can't fix a doggone thing. We'll talk about many issues of preparedness here just after this first break. I wanted to squeeze this in real quick. Senior China official urges cut in U.S. debt holding. China should gradually reduce its holding of U.S. debt and can stop buying dollar-denominated bonds. Hong Kong newspaper on Tuesday quoted, I think this guy's name is Cheng Shui, a vice chief of China's parliament, with China a leading financier of the U.S. current account deficit, just call that debt. Cheng's comments sent the dollar lower against the euro and yen and pushed down prices of U.S. government bonds. Just the time they've got to sell more bonds, China drives it down. Now, the Beijing-funded Wenwei Po Daily carried Cheng's comments made in Hong Kong on Monday, but it was not immediately clear whether they reflected those of top decision-makers who determine the content of China's reserves, the world's largest. Cheng is one of the more than 10 vice chiefs of the parliament and usually speaks on economic policy. China can stop buying dollar-denominated bonds, increasing buying of U.S. products, and gradually reduce its holdings of U.S. bonds, the newspaper quoted him as saying. But all these must follow the prescribed orders without setting off the sequence, and that means the collapse of the U.S. dollar, which it will anyhow, folks, because, see, here's the deal. Everybody is not buying United States debt anymore. It's not a good... Folks, why would I want to buy a country's debt when they're not fiscally responsible and they've driven their currency down to about 4 cents on the dollar? In other words, it's lost 96% of its value. Why the heck would I want to buy anybody's currency that's lost 96% of its value? You only got a few more percentage points, and then it's worth, that's right, absolutely nothing. Cheng also, China should widen the yuan's trading band at the appropriate time. Chen, who made the remarks ahead of President Hu Jintao, I think this guy's name, his visit to the United States, also reiterated calls for the Washington to lift its curbs on exports of high-tech products to China, as if they don't have enough, stolen and otherwise given to them by Bill Clinton and George Bush. The fix is in, folks. The fix is in. We'll be back on the other side of this break, and we're going to talk about something that people have forgotten how to do. That's right, do for themselves. Got a honey-do list? Well, we're going to give you one. Right after this break, we'll be right back.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
This is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. I want to invite you to visit our new and improved website at republictradinggroup.com or simply click on the banner at rbnlive.com. Getting timely information on critical financial and political news has never been more important. By starting your day with a visit to the site, it will preserve that promise we make to liberty about being ever vigilant. Speaking of which, those who were vigilant about gold and silver this time last year were well rewarded. We also invite you to sign up to our free weekly newsletter and receive special offers from Republic Trading Group. And for those of you who don't have internet access, just give Republic Trading Group a call and speak to either Jeff Bennett or myself, and we'll be happy to arrange the snail mail alternative. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-691-7898.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks. Remember the day? I can remember this. My grandmother always was amazed that on her baking days, she always baked twice a week. And we used to live around the corner, and I could smell her baking. But, of course, I really knew the time in which she was doing it. I'd always sneak in the back door of her kitchen, and I'd rob her freshly baked buns, and she'd catch me before I'd go out the door. Well, don't you want some butter or jam on that? No, Grandma, this is just fine. And she made her own butter, too. You know, this is the days that milk was, 45, 50 cents a gallon. You could buy it at a farm. It wasn't this processed, heated up stuff. And at the top of the gallons of milk was always that milk fat, which you could churn into butter. And man, was it good. I mean, no hormone injected anything. People weren't dropping dead because, you know, the farmer wasn't careful with his cows or the milk was contaminated or whatever. It was the good old days. And she also had a garden. Gosh, I saw more bunny rabbits that she fed by the use of her garden. She used to grow lettuce and beans and tomatoes and all kinds of stuff. And she used to put them up. And that's what they would eat during the wintertime. The only time they ever went to the store was to buy meat or, you know, some other incidental item. But a lot of the stuff that was grown right out of her own garden, right out of good old Mother Earth there. But we're now dependent on the mega corporations that are running the food distribution points, commonly called supermarkets, food supermarkets. And, of course, what we're getting nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, is just food. If it's not loaded up with pesticides or whatever the case may be, it's coming and grown out of burned out fertilized soil. I mean, folks, we are nutritionally starving to death in this country. But having said all that, when crunch time really comes, and all we have to do is just look back to last year, Hurricane Katrina, all the other hurricanes this year, they're predicting that we'll have the same amount of hurricanes, but more likely than not, they're instead of hitting the Gulf side of the United States, they'll be hitting the eastern seaboard. It's going to be nasty once again. There's going to be a whole bunch of displaced people. They're not going to have the ability to filter their own water. You know, and every time this happens, folks, it's like clockwork. Oh, there's a hurricane coming. I'm going to run down to the store and buy bottled water. I'm going to go down and buy some canned goods. Well, this keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. But what if there comes a day that we have riots in the streets, food supplies are cut off, martial law is instituted, which is a real possibility. They've been hinting about this for quite some time. They're setting up the scenario. They've got everybody scared to death in this country. But those that are prepared are not scared. And I think that's a truism, isn't it, Steve Shank of J. Michael Stevens Group?
It is, John. And, you know, the old comment that if ye are prepared, ye need not fear is really true. And what we've got, you know, you bring up Katrina, and I got some interesting news this morning that I wasn't expecting that I'll tell you about in a second. But one of the things that we try to do anytime you and I talk, it's a real joy and a pleasure because we try and reach some sort of a common sense perspective on what's happening. And one of the frustrations that I have is that we've got some good people out there that are wanting to know what to do, how to do it, and where to go, and they're not using the tools that they have available to them. And I guess maybe the piece of information that I got was really kind of fascinating. One of the suppliers that we've used over the years, in the 25 years that we've worked with families on food supplies, one of your listeners actually had called one of their distributors in Colorado, and they weren't able to order some of the product that they had because there was back ordering as a result of a huge government order for storable foods. Now let's take it back a little bit.
Well, let's stop right there. Why is the government buying storable foods when they're not distributing them in times of need? Who are they storing them for?
I'm going to give you one word, and I want you to remember it for the rest of the conversation, and you'll understand what I mean in a minute. How about the word bait? Think about it. Now let's go back a little bit further. The last hurricane, not this Katrina one, but the last one, there was a large surplus store out in California that said that sold the Homeland Security Administration over 70,000 meals, some of these meals ready to eat. Now let's take it back a little bit further. You said, why are they buying food? Okay, let's take it back a little bit further. Let's take it to the end of 1999. When most of the food storage retailers in the country were going broke, we heard word that one of them had sold several millions of dollars worth of their remaining inventory after Y2K to the government. Here we've got three instances. One is now, where we're having the government compete with those of us that are trying to put in supply for the pool of storable food. Why are they buying food? Is it because all of a sudden, even after Katrina, where we saw that as they go in, supposedly as a relief organization, there's no relief, there's just police work, are they all of a sudden going to change their spots like the proverbial leopard and start providing for the population of the country? Is that why they're buying food? Think about that, and let's talk about fishing. I know this is going to go around the horn a little bit, but what I'd like to have your listeners do, if you folks out there listening, will please grab a piece of paper and a pen and just write down a few notes and thoughts as John and I go through this thinking here. I think you'll find it extremely useful. Very quickly, if you're going to go fishing and you've got a lake and you want to get all of the fish out of the lake and you want to have them in control, the first thing you do is you run a bunch of nets, don't you?
Sure.
And then you find the slow ones, the sick ones, the elderly ones, and the poor ones. All of those, if you relate the fish to the people on government assistance, you pick those up quite easily because they're already in the gotcha net, aren't they? But then you get the wise ones that avoid the nets and look and see the boat, and they say, hey, I'm going to be around that bugger. I'm going to head out of here. And so they run to the other end of the lake. You go down there, and then they run to the other end. Okay. So you just move them into the shallows, fence them off so they can't get out of those shallows, and then wait until the food leaves. Now, have you ever gone fishing when the fish weren't hungry? What happens, John?
You can sit there all day long. Not a fish to catch.
Absolutely. Now, if the fish are hungry and they're biting, you can sit almost any place in the lake, and they will find you. Isn't that the case?
Pretty much.
But here's the deal. You asked why they're buying food? Well, let's face it. Our boys in Washington have managed to give away the entire National Reserve. A few years ago, we had a six-month supply that we could feed our population if everything, all imports were shut off. A few months ago, we had it down to 31 days. Now, I don't believe that if we completely cut off imports, that we could feed our country at all.
Now, we're talking, Steve, we're talking about a country back in the 50s with the present technology, farming methods, whatever. Mm-hmm. We literally could grow enough food to feed the entire world five times over.
That's correct. But what happened? All the small farmers have been squeezed out, and the remaining ones that have any livestock and cattle, by the way, will be squeezed by the marking of the cattle and the livestock that we're hearing about in Texas. We don't want to get into that right now. We can cover it to an extent later. But the thing is, let's follow this fishing example. They don't have to go out and find us. If they've got the right bait, Americans, hungry Americans, will bring their guns, their children, their property, and themselves, and fight to line up to sell their birthright for a bowl of porridge. Where have you heard that one before? Have you ever heard of that one before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, these people are not very smart that are running this thing. They're not very smart at all. They copy from things that have been done in the past. This very same scenario, the very same one, has been done before. And everybody that's listening has heard the story. You know, whenever you talk about preparedness, everybody says, oh, Joseph of Egypt. Joseph of Egypt was the great storer, okay? He was. He got some revelation as a result of a dream that there was going to be seven good years, seven bad years. Everybody's heard that. And they stocked up and they had the seven good years, and then they stocked up and all the Egyptians grumbled and griped because he made them work extra. And then they had the seven bad years. But nobody ever talks, John, about the rest of the story, as good old Paul would say. Okay? And here's the story. What happened is, if you look in Genesis, those of you who are scriptorians, and I'm not going to preach at you, but just look it up. Genesis chapter 47, starting with verse 13, is the story of this whole mess.
All right, hold that, and we'll pick that up right after this break, folks. The reason why we're approaching this subject matter is because I don't have Steve on very often. And we're telling you some stories here, but in the body of these stories is the truth. Now, if you're able to distinguish the truth when you hear it, You will listen further, and you'll listen to the end of this broadcast today. Getting it yet? We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles of the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. Steve Shank, the name of the group, ladies and gentlemen, is the J. Michael Stevens Group. Please continue, Steve.
Well, what we were talking about is Genesis chapter 47, starting with chapter 13. Now, I don't care whether you guys are Christians or whether you're not. The fact is, you read this and you watch the parallels. And if those of you who have pens and papers, if you will write down some notes on this and follow what I'm saying and follow the logic and reason that John and I are trying to give you, you will act and you will do it now. I don't care if you work with our co-op, but do something. And here's the deal. The first thing Joseph did when the famine hit was the people were hungry. Now, we're not talking about foreigners. We're not talking about Egypt being prepared. We're talking about all of this grain being in the larders of the Pharaoh, okay? So the people of Egypt came to Joseph, and they said, hey, we're hungry. We can't grow any food. And the first thing he did was he gathered up all the money in the land, and gave them food for it. All their money was gone. So the next thing they came and they said, hey, we're hungry again. And he said, well, give me your cattle, which included all the horses, cows, pigs, sheep, everything else, the flocks, and I'll give you food again. So they gave him all the cattle. So now the Pharaoh owns all of the money, and he owns all of the cattle, And the next thing it comes down to is really fascinating. It says the people came and beseeched him and begged him to, quote, buy us and our land. And he bought them. And then in verse 21, look at what it says. And John, this is going to raise the hair on the back of your neck when it comes to what the plan is for the people in our country. He removed them to cities at the other end of Egypt. And then in verse 23, he says, I have bought you this day and your land for the Pharaoh. Now, if any of you have ears to hear, and any of you have eyes to see, please understand what this ancient scripture is repeating that is being carbon copied, word for word, act for act, verbatim, exactly, and food is the international medium of power. Okay? Now you ask, why are they buying food? If they have the right bait, they will come. Okay? In the next little while, okay, and I'm talking to every single one of us, that's John, you and Sandra, that's me, that's my family, that's all of your listeners out there, in the next little while, all of our food will be bought. It will either be bought by them, or it will be bought by us. Now, right now, we have government agents going out and buying long-term storable food to put in along with the UN-held grains that are stored in various facilities, including Kansas City, that everybody's heard about for years. Okay? They're buying those foods, and so you've got a choice. Your food is either going to be held by them or it's going to be held by you. And just remember, Katrina was not a relief operation. It was a police operation. Okay? Now, I got a question for you. We've already established why food is being bought. Now, here's the question, John, and think about this. This came to me last night when I was writing some notes to discuss with you today. They're buying food. Are they buying enough for all of us?
Absolutely not. And I can further say that the reason they're buying up what is available out there is to keep it out of our hands.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if they're not buying, okay, but let's pretend that they are buying food for all of us. Let's pretend that the leopard has changed his spots from Katrina. From Katrina, the leopard has changed his spot, and they're going to provide, they're going to be a relief organization. There are over 300 million people in this country. Okay? I know what it costs to buy a year's supply of food at the best possible wholesale rates, and let's assume that the government can do that. If they did that, they would be expending $240 billion within the next 3 months to put in enough food so that they could feed us for 1 year. Now, how is a country that is known to be $3.5 trillion in debt going to come up with $240 billion to feed people that it really doesn't give a rat's butt about anyway? I shouldn't have said that, but anyway.
Well, it's true. Point. It's true.
Okay, so here is where the question lies. How long can you live on an MRE that you get by standing in line in a bread line? Just long enough to get the card. Okay. But
just long enough to line back up in that same line tomorrow, next week, next month.
With your money.
With your guns. Yeah.
With your children.
Yep.
With your property. With your sick and afflicted. And so let's look at who is on the short list. Let's look at who's on the list and where they are. I'm going to ask you, John, and your listeners to put themselves in this line of thinking.
All right. Hold that thought. We got to take this break. I was going to do this after the break, but I'll do it right now. Monday, program note, first hour is Dr. Stanley Monti. He was in the DVD, America's Beginnings.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Some families are just getting started planning their storable supplies. Other families have a basic supply that needs to be made usable. Many folks have food that's old and needs replacing. Most folks don't want to become experts on storable foods. They don't want to get stuck with old food, bad food, contaminated food, rocks in their grain, beans that won't cook, or dried vegetables that taste like reworked cardboard. And they certainly don't want to pay gourmet prices for cheap, low-quality vegetables just because they haven't perfected the art of being able to tell a good dried carrot from a bad one. The first big problem with emergency foods is that you take them home and store them. People never discover that they have a bad product until they don't open it, usually years later, because they need it. Then it's too late. You know, folks, think about it. It's kind of like buying a gun to protect your home, and when the robbers come, pulling the trigger and discovering it was loaded with blanks. Steve Shank, efoodsdirect.com is the website. I haven't said that enough. efoodsdirect.com. And before we go any further here, and I want you to pick up exactly where we left off, but I want people to understand who Steve Shank is. Now, you put a lot of people in the storable food business prior to 1999. Y2K, everybody's hand over fist. You know, the world was going to stop. You know, the chips weren't going to make the streetlights work, or the oil pumping facilities weren't going to pump because, well, the chips didn't recognize the turn of the century. Well, folks, a lot of people backed away from this thing, but I always said it was about this. Y2K was simply about this. It was a real possibility here in this country that if people were a little bit too edgy, a little bit too squirrely, that they were going to go down to their bank and just, hey, withdraw their funds for just a few days until, that's right, January 1st, 2000, clicked over. And then they'd feel safe and they'd go back to the banks and they'd put their money back in. The problem is we're dealing with a fractional reserve banking system and the banks ain't got your money there. Runs on the banks would have collapsed every last bank in this country and could have had worldwide domino effect. That's what they were concerned about. During 1999, I watched where they spent the majority of the money. It was in the banking systems for upgrading their mainframes, their software, all the periphery hardware, everything. They were ready to go in February, March of 1999. When they said, we've got the problem under control, that's what the government reported. But it wasn't about those little IC chips that were going to go bleak and just not operate. It was about the banks.
Wonderful. That's absolutely true. But I've got something to add to that, which is just some information that I'm sure you're already aware of that has come to us. One of the major banks in the country has been training their employees with regard to how to respond to folks in the state of an emergency when they're not allowed to remove anything from their safety deposit box without the approval of a Homeland Security agent.
Oh, so we're going to have the Homeland Security they're going to be giving direction to the little tellers at our banks across America?
No, they're going to go in and stand next to you when you open your safety deposit box and won't allow you to remove gold or silver or jewelry or anything of value, particularly guns and things.
Mm.
Anything that could be of value or a threat to the system. And, in fact, the employees were sworn to secrecy, and this one individual that leaked the information quit the bank and told their family, and as a result, you know, secrets aren't kept very well. But that's what we've got coming.
Now let's draw the parallel with that one. What happened back in 1933? Well, that's right. On March 9, 1933, we officially declared the United States Corporation, well, the government, bankrupt. And then FDR set about pulling the funds. Oh, that's right. Pulling the funds, confiscating people's gold, their jewelry, their silver, whatever they had in those safety deposit boxes, under hefty penalty. As a matter of fact, I still have the executive order on a placard. It says, on or before May 1st, 1933, all gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates now owned by them to a Federal Reserve branch or agency or to any member bank of the Federal Reserve System, and they provided stiff penalties for not turning in your gold.
Well, now it's going to be even one step further. You won't even be able to get to it. And I guess maybe what, you know, they say that people who don't learn history are doomed to repeat it. I would encourage every listener, and I would encourage you, John, just for the sake of argument, I know you're there, but anyone that you know, and listeners, anyone that you know, go back and read the silly Bible. I didn't mean silly, but I'm saying we've got a bunch of Christians out there that are debating as to what day is the Sabbath when they're gagging at gnats and swallowing camels, and they can see the exact pattern these jerks are following. Satan will always follow God's plan, only he'll put it on a reflective surface and give it backwards. And if he looks at what happened in Egypt, if you just read that one chapter in the book of Genesis and follow exactly what happened in Egypt, that's exactly the pattern these guys are following. It's absolutely delightfully amazing. And the beautiful thing here, John, is they are so stupid, they don't have a bit of creativity of their own. They just got to copy what's been done before.
Well, and a lot of people don't know that you, like I started to say, that you got a lot of people started in the business of storable foods. There's a lot of people out there right now that are selling old foods, maybe repackaged. Maybe they're selling it to the government. Maybe, you know, one day you'll stand in that line to get some legumes or whatever, and they're all They're all bug-eaten, or, you know, you'll be buying flour with those little nasty black bugs in them. And I mean, folks, it's imperative. We have lost the ability, and we are losing very quickly the ability to be self-sustainable. We're all plugged into that matrix. Well, we all saw the movie, The Matrix, and you understand that once you're plugged into it, it's very hard to get out of it. But you, my friend, have spent all the money that you made from 1999, the big preparedness year. You had spent all your reserves of money to stay in business because you knew this bugger was going to come around again, didn't you?
Yeah, and the main fear that we've got, John, the main fear that anybody who stops and thinks that's at the supply end of the food chain is that by the time the people wake up enough to just scramble to get everything that they can get their hands on in and store it, we won't have anything to get for them. And that's the fear. I have people call me up, sweet, lovable people that are concerned, that have been listening to your programming and listening to some of the other folks that are sounding the alarm and being the voices crying in the wilderness, and they say, well, dadgummit, we're going to do this. We got to save up for about 3 months. They might not have 3 months, and I don't want to say they don't, because I could be wrong. I was wrong before, John. I thought I made a mistake. But
how do you think you made a mistake?
I don't know. I screwed up one time and I thought I made a mistake.
Oh. Okay.
But anyway, all I'm saying is, if they'll read that account of Egypt, and then they'll look at the parallels, and then they'll think about this thought. Let's get back to the disaster with the last hurricane. The news media are coming out in just the last couple weeks and screaming that FEMA didn't do the job, and they're relating the fact that they didn't do the job because most of the people that were hit in those areas were poor, they were welfare recipients. What's that all about? Got to think about it. Now let's go back to the list of the people who will be fed. Okay, we know that they don't have enough food for all of us. We know that somebody within the next week is going to have your food, family. It's either going to be them or it's going to be you. And now let's look at the list, if it's them, of who gets on it. Okay, we know that anybody that's part of the system, let's take, for example, the one that the news media is all talking about, all the poor people, the people who are on welfare, where do you think that they will rate on this list of the ones that are to survive? They're already a welfare liability, aren't they?
They're already useless eaters.
Okay, let's talk about some more useless eaters. What about the aged? Not necessarily the infirm, just the folks that have worked all their lives, paid into the system, and deserve to be able to retire, called Social Security.
Useless eaters. We can cut them off. They can just die off, and that way we don't have to do Medicaid, Medicare. We don't have to pay them Social Security. Another band of useless eaters.
Okay, the next one are the sick or infirm, and you just cover them with useless eaters again, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, now let's do one that's really touchy right now. We have a lot of illegals. Now, however you may feel about the illegals, they are wonderful people.
Sure they are.
They are simply trying to get the heck out of a bad situation into a situation where they can control their destiny and have a future.
Well, I don't want them peeing in my swimming pool, and I promise I won't go down to Mexico to swim in their toilet.
I understand, but let me follow the scenario with me. On that list of people who are to be fed, do you think the illegals are on it? No, I don't think so. In fact, some of those folks who are illegal that are listening to me right now, I can say, may want to consider seriously what we're telling people who are presently in this country that were born here and, quote unquote, are supposed to be here. They might want to, the illegals might want to look at what we're telling them, and they might want to run, not walk, back to Mexico to get out before the dadgum gate slams shut.
Well, and I've already suggested this, Steve, that we have about 250 million firearms in this country. We've got approximately 40 million illegals here, none of them all adults, and I'm not saying we should arm children. But on their way back to Mexico, we'll give them a rifle or a handgun with a box of shells for their rifles or the handguns. Probably about 25 million of them. That makes one heck of an army. They can go back down to Mexico, take over that corrupt government, set up house once again, build a standard of living of which we've become accustomed to in this country, and then we can all be friends again.
Well, and we might end up going there when things get so bad here.
No, I don't. No. I'm not going any place. I was born in this country, and I'm going to die in this country. But I was born a free man, and I swear by my God in heaven, I am going to die a free man.
Well, I'm not that fatalistic, John, and don't be offended by this. But you know when the old boy Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death," my response to that is just flat out, "Give me liberty." And you know they say that with regard to Christians, you know it's one thing to have enough faith to die for Christ, but it's another thing to have enough faith to live for it and freedom for him. And freedom is something that I don't plan to die for. I plan to live for it.
There you go. There you go. Hey, I'll tell you what. I've got some phone callers here.
Okay.
Let me roll in Tom in Arkansas on this conversation. Hello, Tom.
Thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
I drive regularly up to Helena, Arkansas, from Little Rock. That's about a 2.5-hour drive.
Uh-huh.
Not one farm between here and yonder has food growing in the backyard. I find that systemic to the issue that you guys are addressing right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Plugged into that matrix.
We got no food in this country, Tom.
Well, and I fortunately grew up with a little knowledge of organic gardening. We had a tremendous compost heap and had vegetables, tomatoes the size of a grapefruit when we were children. And we kind of forgotten to do it here ourselves. So I'm going to use your words today, take it to heart, and get busy with my... this weekend.
Isn't this great timing? I mean, it gets a little warmer down here a little quicker in Oklahoma and Texas and in the South than it does in the Midwest and up north. But this is planting season. It's time to get in there and till up that earth. Go get yourself some real seeds, not these generic things, but the ones that will, you know, keep producing seed. The
Heritage.
Yeah, there you go, Heritage Seeds. And the time is now.
That's right. I don't know where to get Heritage Seeds, but I'll get on the internet and.
Well, don't worry about that. Just give us a call, Tom. We've got the best source in the country. We'll have them order you.
Oh, so you have the non-hybrid seeds also?
Is the sky up and do pigeons crap on statues, buddy? Yeah, we do.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got chewed out by my guest, folks.
Hey, listen, Tom. I need to add to what you just said, though.
Yeah.
I really desperately need to add to it. I want every listener out there that heard what Tom said to get their tail in gear and plant. If they got to plow up their lawn, their beautiful green lawn, and put gardening in, start gardening. But the garden can only last one season. I would encourage everybody to grow as much as they can, to store back, to can and dry as much as they can of their own production. But with what we've got coming, there's absolutely no doubt but what you're going to be able to handle it for 2, 3, maybe 4 years. And during part of that time, you will not be able to grow. You have to put in some storable stuff. Mm-hmm. During the famine that Joseph was dealing with, they had 7 years. I don't know how many years we got, but by the past history of countries that have gone socialist and taken over control of the food and the people, it has always taken at least 3 years for people to stay under the radar screen, and you won't be able to grow it all that time. So store two. Whether you work it through us or any place else, but get at least a 3-year supply.
Tom, there's something else I wanted to bring up because this just sparked my little memory hole here.
Yeah.
My wife, we do put back storable foods. We went out shopping for mason jars this year. And the year before and the year before that, the places that you could always go to and they had the good supply of the I don't know what I'd do without you today, Steve. The wide mouth jars or the narrow mouth jars in different sizes, they're not carrying them anymore. So what is drying up out there, and I don't know, I can throw in a conspiracy theory here, but something tells me that a lot of these retailers out there have either been told not to carry, you know, anything to do with preparation or anything else, but store after store after store down here in Texas we went to, we can't find the mason jars.
Let me tell you exactly what happened with that, John. The people have gotten so lazy that when these stores buy in an inventory of these silly jars, they sit there and they have to ship them back out, and it's expensive for them. They can't afford to do it.
Exactly what I was thinking. There's no question. These, I'm telling you, these guys are lazy. Their farms have been sold to the biggest bank, and they both partners work a regular job at Walmart, so they don't have time to farm.
Well, and let me add a little bit to that. Of the people that are calling me, that are really deeply concerned about getting a supply, getting prepared, they're asking intelligent, good, solid questions. What do you do about water storage? What do you do about, you know, gardening? And do you suggest that we have some additional storable stuff besides gardening? The age groups will amaze you. The young families starting out, the middle-aged families, are not the ones that are calling. I have Melba that calls up and she says, I'm 87 years old, but I lived through the dadgum depression and I saw what was going on and I'm going to put in some food. I mean, it's just, because, you know, I have my webmaster that says, well, we've got to put up some stuff so that people can just find us on the internet and order their food. And I tell them, the internet is not the place that the vast majority of people that are storing food are working. Most of my people that relate to what I'm talking about are internet and computer illiterate. Mm-hmm. They call up from the hills of West Virginia or from Tennessee and all the other places.
Right.
And these people say, well, send me out a mail packet and I'll get some food, but I don't know the computer.
Sure.
So the age group, the younger generations are flat out lazy and they don't know how to do it. They haven't had to.
Well, but you know, that goes again back to the problem that we're having in this country, Steve, that a lot of people don't know what's going on right under their own nose. And I'm glad you brought that up because I have neglected to put out your toll-free number, and you may not have a computer, and you may be up in the back hills of Tennessee someplace, but I'll bet you can find a phone. Write this number down. Now, Steve said right at the top of the program, get your pens and your paper ready. Well, here it is. The toll-free number is 800-409-5633. For your internet people out there, you can go to efoodsdirect.com. And if you've got a computer, well, then you've got the ability to email. You can email them at info@efoodsdirect.com. Or if you're at the office and you want to fire off a fax to them, you don't want to make a phone call, just slide it in there or hit that button, 801-492-4270. Those numbers again, toll free, 800-409-5633, fax 801-492-4270, or the old email, info@efoodsdirect.com. Tom, is there anything else?
Yeah, Steve. I have a dear friend in Florida who's an organic biochemist. His family owned a great big company when we were kids. It was called Circle One Feeds.
Oh, yeah.
The name was worldwide synonymous. Since his father passed, he's had to rebuild the thing from the ashes. But he's tripled the size of his business since January 1st, and he uses organic microbiology and various teas, he calls them, to reinvigorate the compost heap.
Wow.
And the one thing we've done religiously is compost all of our food and turn it regularly, add the grass clippings, get it, builds up some heat in it. I don't know if I do it right, but I'll tell you this, I got a lot better soil than any of my neighbors. And soil is a big issue if you're going to enjoy the farming process and enjoy the smell and the taste. The objective here is we've got to get rid of those chemical salts, which are salinating the soil, making it not hold water, et cetera. You
right,
know, so.
Right.
Well, absolutely. And the interesting thing is, the point you bring up, Tom, is very valid. And when I talk to families and they say, well, I'm planning to plant a garden, you've got to realize that from the work you've experienced right there, it takes 2 to 3 years of diligent, hard, gut-grinding effort
Absolutely.
To turn the soil that we've got in this country into something that's even remotely remembrance of the soil that our pioneer forefathers had.
And I'll stake my life on this truism, that if you have an organic-based soil composition, the bugs are attracted to the soil, not the plant.
Absolutely.
You do not have to spray a tomato. You do not have holes in the leaves. So, you know, our grandparents and parents knew this.
Oh, absolutely.
Children today, they really believe that our country still exports 75% of the
world. Well, when they think of harvest, it's time to go to H-E-B or Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
That's harvest for them. Tom, I thank you for your call, sir.
Thanks for your participation on the show. And, John, thank you for...
Absolutely. I appreciate it very much. A little quick on the trigger there, Kelly. All right. Kelly told me to give out those numbers again. It's toll-free, folks. You can always find a phone if you don't have a computer. 800-409-5633. If you do have computer, efoodsdirect.com. Or if you're at the office, you just want to shoot a fax over there, you don't want to talk on company time, just slide it in the old fax machine, 801-492-4270. And, well, let Steve know the best time to contact you. You don't want him calling you back at work. Well, give him your home phone number, give him all the pertinent information, and he will get back to you. We have just a couple minutes left, and Steve, in 1 minute or less, if you can do it, why is it important to buy foods from eFoods Direct? Why? Because of the quality and the price. 60 seconds.
Well, very simply, the one thing that we are is a co-op rather than a retail operation, and our concern is to help the families do what they need to do, and the whole objective is to put out more of a better quality of food for less money than anything else they can do, and we guarantee it. But, you know, I would rather not say you've got to buy from J. Michael Stevens Group or eFoods Direct. I'd say, though, if you're going to check it out and check out some of these retailers, make sure you check with us, and we'll tell you what not to waste your money on. But ultimately, if they talk to us and we tell them what they need to do, they end up ordering through us anyway because they get a better product, and they can depend on it. It doesn't have any genetic alteration, doesn't have any Mexican imports, isn't packed in Chilean cans, it's packed in American-made cans, and just all of the various things that are behind the scenes. But very seriously, this isn't a, hey, we need to huck you some product, guys. It's just do it. Read the Bible, and it'll tell you the exact pattern we're following, and you can track it exactly with what we're doing right now.
Well, and
John, I appreciate you.
Well, hey, and I appreciate you, and you and I are we're cut out of the same cloth, my friend. I respect you, and I respect what you're doing and why you stayed into this game. You weren't these hit-and-run guys that came and went with Y2K. You were serious about what you're doing, and you're serious about the health and vitality of this country. You want it back, but we got to be there to take it back.
That's the truth.
All righty. Steve Shank, thank you so much, my friend.
It's been delightful, John.
All righty. Toll-free again, folks, 800-409-5633. You want to email them, info@efoodsdirect.com, or fax them at 801-492-4270, and we will have Steve Shank back in the future for further updates. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, John.
All righty, sir. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. This Friday, we'll be back with you Monday. First hour, Dr. Stanley Monteith. He was in that DVD that's making waves, America's Beginnings. And then on Tuesday, we got Rick Siegel, 9/11 Eyewitness DVD. No talk show host has had this guy on, and hardly anybody has seen his information. Well, get with us Tuesday, and we'll give it to you. God bless you. We'll see you Monday.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org and keep America free.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.